Today I'll be leaving for Brussels, spend the day visiting other religious organizations who have headquarters here for their European umbrella organization with which they liaise with the EU, and will also meet a representative of the advisor to the Religious Affairs Committee. And then I'll go back to Budapest late in the evening. We're going to continue today the second part of the questions which Bikesh Sharma submitted on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These challenges are, I think, very constructive, very instructive in our understanding both our Siddhanta as well as the practical obstacles that we come across in preaching. I'm sure you all know by listening to Srila Prabhupada's tapes that Srila Prabhupada's conversations and especially his morning walks really centered around prodding devotees to ask challenging questions that they encountered in their preaching, so that his divine grace could address these questions very often in forceful manners in order to train and empower devotees how to respond to the natural challenges that come when one preaches. And even if one doesn't preach, then we can see that there are many people who have their own opinions of the Krishna consciousness movement, some of them from the Hindu tradition, some from the Vaishnava tradition, and in certain cases these people become extremely critical of certain philosophical points, some practices that we have, and thus challenge our authenticity. And of course the first thing for a practitioner, a Madhyamadikari, is that he needs to be able to defend the authenticity of his belief. This is important in order to protect one's own devotional creeper, and also in order to properly represent the spiritual tradition of which we're a part. So now Bikash asks the second question. He says, if there is evidence in scripture that Lord Chaitanya is God incarnate, then why is it not so explicitly mentioned that this is the next incarnation? Some people are claiming that the Shastras that we sometimes quote with regard to the golden avatar is a misinterpretation of what has been written. For example, Chaitanya is a word which appears many times in scripture, but is not necessarily addressing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Unfortunately, I don't find that these questions are necessarily very accurate or scholastic. I'm not saying this from Bikash's point of view, but rather from the critic who he's facing. I would suggest to ask this so-called smart Brahmin that quote the scriptural reference that you don't like or that you think can be misconstrued or doesn't directly point to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as being the avatar for Kali Yuga, or that verse which doesn't address Lord Chaitanya's incarnation, but is just talking about consciousness in general. In other words, something that we are misinterpreting. This is a general accusation, and the defect of this accusation is that it doesn't raise any example. It just says, you do this, and then we're meant to immediately defend that. It's just as if someone comes up to a devotee and says, you beat your wife, and then immediately you have to defend yourself. No, it says, you show me the evidence that I beat my wife, and then I'll show you that I don't, based on some supporting evidence which will undermine what you're saying and disprove it. Similarly, people simply say that the evidence that we quote doesn't explicitly say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Kali Yuga avatar, then show us what verse you're talking about. If there are verses that we in Krishna consciousness are quoting which is a misinterpretation of the words, then show us which verse you're talking about. Otherwise, this person is simply making a statement which is not substantiated. However, let us then study some of these allegations anyway for our own edification. It begins by this hypothetical or challenging statement, if there is evidence in Scripture that Lord Chaitanya is God incarnate. It's not a question of if, there is. And here's one quote which everyone knows, which is from the Emperor of All Evidence, and that is Srimad Bhagavatam. There it very clearly says, Krishna Varnan Tisha Krishnam Sangopanga Shaparshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayaryajanti Hishamedasa. Now we all know this verse. This verse speaks about Krishna's incarnation, who is Tisha Krishnam, who is not blackish, but the opposite of blackish, golden in complexion. And this quote is certainly not ambiguous, for it's directly asking the question, who is the incarnation for Kali Yuga? What is the method of worshipping him? Therefore, it's very clear that we are talking about the golden incarnation who's appearing in this age, and the method of worshipping him is Sankirtan Yajna. And the next quote, which is also from Srimad Bhagavatam, is equally explicit. It is the statement of Garga Muni to Nanda Maharaj on the appearance of Lord Krishna, his name-giving ceremony. And there he says, Asam varnas tario yasya grinatu nuyagam tanu suklo rakta tatahapita idanim krishna tam gata. So there it's very clear that he says tatahapita. He says that in this age he appears in a golden complexion. The suklo and rakta, the white and yellow incarnations, had already appeared. He says idanim, in this age, Dwapar Yuga, he appears as blackish. And Pita, that leaves the golden complexion to appear in Kali Yuga. Now people may argue, they do, that here, golden complexion, so many people may be golden complexion. Why isn't very explicit? The reason that it is not so explicit is because that's the nature of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's avatar, which Prahlad Maharaj has called Chana Kalu. He says that in your incarnation is a hidden incarnation in Kali Yuga, and that is why you are known as Tri Yuga. Srila Prabhupada says, or the Lord who manifests his supremacy in only three ages. In other words, Krishna's explicit position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is manifest in three ages, and it's hidden in the fourth age. So when something is hidden, then you need to look a little better. Things aren't so clearly stated and so explicit. That does not mean it's not there. Just like gold, which is hidden in a hole, is no less gold than the gold that is sitting on the surface of the earth. But you have to dig for it, and once you dig it and you dust off the earth, then it will look just like the gold which is uncovered or unhidden. Now if we turn to Mahabharata, we get a little more information about who is this golden complexion person. There it's stated, Suvarna Varna Himango Varangas Changanangadi Sanya Satskishamo Shinta Nishta Shanti Parayanaha. So here the emphasis on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's golden complexion is there by the words Suvarna Varna and Hemanga. His beauty is by the words Varanga. But we learn a little more about him. We learn that he is sannyasa krit, is that he takes sannyas. Now that immediately narrows down the saints and sages who appear in Kali Yuga with a golden complexion engaged in Sankirtan Yoga, that they've taken sannyas. And we know historically that yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken sannyas. And this hidden nature of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very clearly stated in the Adi Purana, where Lord Krishna is speaking. He says, aham neva advitya shrishta. He says, O best of Brahmins, my disguised form is eternal. In this form, which is hidden from ordinary sight, I take the form of a devotee, bhagavat bhakta rupena, and appear amongst the people in general in order to establish and protect religious principles. Lokan rakshami sarvadaha. So now we know that he has a golden complexion, he chants Hare Krishna, he's a sannyasi, enters into the renowned orders of life, but bhagavat bhakta rupena, but he also appears as a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's not coming as a jnani, as a yogi, as a mystic, or anything else. So once again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu conforms to this. Name me some other personalities in Kali Yuga who match the identity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, let's go on to Shruti, which is unequivocal evidence. And we'll give a couple of quotes from Upanishads. Now, we should keep in mind that Upanishads are not direct in their language. Therefore, not only in talking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but in talking about anything, talking about the absolute truth, they speak in Gona, in covered language. So one would expect that in talking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his incarnations, again, they are talking in covered language. And in Svetashvatara Upanishad, it is stated here, Mahan Prabhun Vai Purusha Sat Vasyeshta Pavartaka. This is again a description of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's described as being effulgent, imperishable like molten gold. He controls the mode of goodness, and through Sankirtan bestows spiritual intelligence. Once again it's stated, he is in the guise of a sannyasi, and he is referred to as Mahaprabhu, as Mahaprabhu. All right, so add up the points. Golden complexion, Sankirtan Yajna, takes sannyas. He's a pure devotee, or he appears as a pure devotee, and he's also known as Mahaprabhu. By the process of elimination, we're narrowing down and coming closer to who that could be. And once again, we get a similar quote from the Mundaka Upanishad, which is very famous and often quoted, Yada Pashyat Pashyate Rukmavaranam. Here it's stated that when one realizes the golden form of the Supreme Lord, who is the ultimate actor, Kartaram Isham Purusham Brahmajonim, then it's stated that one is able to attain the Supreme Abode, Paramam Samyam Upaiti. What is that Supreme Abode? The Supreme Abode is Goloka Vrindavan. You cannot enter into Goloka Vrindavan without the mercy of Lord Krishna. And yet, Lord Krishna here is described as Rukmavarnam, or someone who has a golden complexion. All right, let's turn to some other scriptures, see if we get any more direct information. Up to now, we have quite a bit of detail about who we're talking about when we're talking about the Yuga avatar for Kali Yuga. And we see from the Krishna Yamala Tantra a very clear statement which tells us about the mother of this incarnation as well as the place of his appearance. There it says, Punyakshetri Navadvipi Babishyami Sachi Suta. I shall appear in the holy land of Navadvip as the son of Sachidevi. Now that's pretty clear. Not only do we now know that he's golden in appearance, he's the same caliber Supreme Personality of Godhead. By his worship, one attains Goloka Vrindavan. He takes sannyas. And he's a devotee of the Lord. But we also hear that his mother's name is Sachi, and that he appears in Navadvip. Now, that really narrows it down to at least the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that we know, who was originally born as Nimai Pandit in the house of Jagannath Mishra. But if someone wants any further confirmation, then in the Vayu Purana, it's also stated, Kalo Sarkirtanarambe Bhavishyami Satchishuta. In the age of Kali, when the Sanktan movement is inaugurated, I shall descend as the son of Sachidevi. All right, once again, this is repeating the fact that this incarnation appears as the son of Sachi, but it's also very clear that the Sanktan movement is inaugurated by him. Now, is there any other person, any other incarnation who's introduced the Sanktan movement? I mean, if we're talking about the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, Yajna Sankirtana prayer, to who else, other than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, does the origins of spreading the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and other names of the Lord go? There's no one else up to now, for the last 5,000 years, since the beginning of Kali Yuga, who's inaugurated a Sankirtan movement, which is now spreading all over the world. That in itself should be clue enough for foolish people who are trying to find out who this hidden incarnation is. It seems to me that by the statements of these scriptures, when we put them together without any motivation and bias, it becomes very clear that we've established the coordinates of these many different elements that defines Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Yuga avatar. And this same truth is once again summarized in the Brahma Yamala Tantra, where it stated, sometimes I appear on the surface of the world in the garb of a devotee. Specifically, I appear as the son of Sachi in Kali Yuga to start the Sankirtan movement. Atavaham dhar radhame butva madbhakta rupatrik. I appear as my own devotee. Mayayam cha bhavishyami kalo sankirtanagame. In Kali Yuga, I appear to begin the Sankirtan movement. Now, the complaint has come that the word Chaitanya is used in another context. And in the introduction to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada really goes into depth to explain the meaning of the word Chaitanya. But in all of the quotes I've mentioned up to now, I haven't used one quote for Chaitanya. So what is this particular reference or misquoting that this person is talking about? Because we've established the position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Yuga avatar, it should be without a doubt, but I'll quote one more verse, it should be established without a shadow of a doubt. And we've not quoted the word Chaitanya as yet, therefore there's no question of it being misinterpreted. And here in the Ananta Samhita, which was discovered by Thakur Bhaktivinod, it stated, Yaeva Bhagavan Krishna Radhika Pranabalava Srishti Ado Sajagannato Gaura Asin Maheshwari. He says, the Supreme Person, Sri Krishna, who is the life of Srimati Radharani and is the Lord of the universe in creation, maintenance, and annihilation, appears as Gaura. So here once again, the word Gaura is coming out, the name of Gaura is given. Only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as Gaura and Gauranga. I don't know of any other Indian saint, etc., who is referred to as such. And it becomes very clear that he is Krishna, who is the beloved of Srimati Radharani. So I'm going to stop there in terms of defending this point. It should be very much clear enough that in ISKCON, we are not misquoting scripture, even though statements are taken on their own, scriptural statements taken on their own may not be very explicit. When you add up many of the scriptural statements, they automatically point like vectors to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and individually give characteristics that, when put together, define and establish Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's position. And ISKCON does not misquote, Srila Prabhupada does not misquote or misinterpret the word Chaitanya. That's one that we received. If there's some other word that's being mentioned, then we should be given that word in the particular verse, and then let's see if it's actually a misquote. Otherwise, right now, this is an accusation with no substance and no backup, and therefore it should be just disregarded per se. Now, in conclusion, I'm going to quote from the Chaitanya Upanishad, which is from the Atharva Veda. And this is going really back to Shruti. This is going back to the original Vedas and the Upanishads. And this Chaitanya Upanishad is called such because now here the reference is made to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I'm going to read the translation to the Upanishad and cite the specific words or shlokas that use the word Chaitanya. And you will see that there's absolutely no ambiguity or misinterpretation in terms of these translations. Okay, all right, everyone ready? Here we go. Carrying firewood in his hands, Pipalad humbly approached his father, Lord Brahma, and asked, "O my Lord, please tell me how I may attain an auspicious life." Lord Brahma replied, "Be satisfied by remaining always celibate and perform austerities. Carefully control the activities of the mind. In this way you will attain an auspicious condition in life." Pipalad followed these instructions, and after having become pure in his own heart and mind, he again approached his father and asked, "O my Lord, please tell me how the sinful living entities in Kali Yuga may be delivered." Okay, comment by Sri Ram Swami, very clear statement. How the sinful living entities Kali Yuga may be delivered, and this shadows, or rather preempts, the same question which is asked in Srimad Bhagavatam. Who should be the object of their worship, and what mantra should they chant in order to become delivered? Kindly inform me. Lord Brahma replied, "Listen carefully, for I shall give you a confidential description of what will happen in Kali Yuga. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, the Supreme Enjoyer, whose form is transcendental, who is beyond the touch of the three modes of material nature, and whose all-pervading super soul residing in the hearts of all living entities, will appear again in the Kali Age. Appearing as the greatest devotee, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will assume a two-armed form of golden complexion in his abode of Goloka Vrindavan, manifested on the bank of the Ganges in Navadvip. He will disseminate pure devotional service in the world. This incarnation of the Lord is described in the following verses." So here note the words, Janavitire, he will be on the banks of the Janavi River, which is the Ganges, Navadvipe, in Navadvip. He's the Govinda Dvibhujo, who has two arms, and Gaura Sarvatma, and he will appear as Gaura. And now here come the following words. Eko Deva Sarvarupi Mahatma Gauru Rakta Shyamala Svetarupa Chaitanyatma Savai Chaitanya Shaktir Bhakta Karo Bhaktidho Bhaktivedya. The one Supreme Personality of God, who is the master of all transcendental potencies, and who may be known only by devotional service, appears in innumerable transcendental forms. He has appeared with red, black, and white complexion, and he shall also appear in the golden form, Gauro Rakta Shyamala Svetarupa. Gauro, he's appearing in golden form, Chaitanyatma, in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He shall assume the role of a perfect devotee, and will teach conditioned souls the path of pure devotional service. Now that's one reference to the word Chaitanya. Someone may argue that point. Okay, here's another verse, the following verse. Namo Vedanta Vedyaya Krishnaya Paramatmane Sarva Chaitanya Rupaya Chaitanyaya Namo Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Sri Krishna, the all-pervading personality of Godhead, who is understood by study of Vedanta philosophy. He's the master of all transcendental potencies, Sarva Chaitanya Rupaya. So that means he's the master of all transcendental potencies. Here the word Chaitanya is used in terms of potency. And he appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanyaya Namo Namaha. So the word Chaitanya is again repeated, but here Namo Namaha is very clear that here we're talking about a person. We're offering obeisances to the person who is Chaitanya and who is the master of all potencies, Sarva Chaitanya. No confusion at all. Once again, Vedanta Vedyam Purusham Puranam Chaitanya Atmanam Vishvayonim Mahatmam. One who understands Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known by the study of Vedanta philosophy, who is the original cause of the universe, who is the oldest, the original person, crosses beyond this world of birth and death. That is the proper understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And aside from this, there's no other way for one to achieve liberation. Here, once again, very clearly stated, Chaitanya Atmanam. Here, the word Atmanam refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Chaitanya refers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It cannot be misconstrued in any other way, or it cannot be interpreted another way. You cannot say that it refers to the Supreme Consciousness, because here a person is being referred to that person. Chaitanya, in the context of simply consciousness, doesn't refer to a person. Therefore, it refers to that same person who goes back to the previous verse, Chaitanya Namo Namaha, that person to whom one is offering obeisances to. Then it says, appearing in this golden form, the all-powerful Supreme Lord will fill the entire universe with transcendental bliss by the chanting of his all holy names. In this way, the Supreme Lord manifests two of his transcendental potencies, his Ladini Shakti, the potency of transcendental bliss, and Samvit, the potency of transcendental knowledge. The Supreme Personality of Godhead will chant a mantra consisting of the names of Hari, Krishna, and Rama. Now, sometimes people say, did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ever chant the Hari Krishna Maha Mantra? But here it is stated, Mula Mantram Japati, Hari Iti Krishna Iti Rama Iti. What other mantra is there that has the words Hari, Rama, and Krishna in it? It's the Hari Krishna Maha Mantra. These three names of the Supreme Lord may be explained in the following way. Hari means he who unties the knot of material existence in the heart of living entities. Krishna is divided in two syllables. Krishna, Krish means he who attracts the minds of all living entities, and Na means the supreme transcendental pleasure. These two syllables combine to become the name Krishna, and Rama means he is full of transcendental bliss. The Maha Mantra consists of the repetition of these names of the Supreme Lord. The mantra is the best of mantras. Although it is very difficult to understand this mantra, it may be understood when one engages in pure devotional service of the Lord. Those who seriously desire to make progress in spiritual life continually chant these 16 splendid names, so it's very clear. Here it is stated, Namani Ashtab Ashtacha, that it is a mantra made of 16 names. So, Hari, Rama, Krishna, 16 names, only Maha Mantra is that mantra. And in this way, they cross beyond the bondage of continued material existence. The chanting of these holy names of the Lord is the greatest of all mantras, is the most confidential of all secrets. Okay, now, once again, the use of the word Chaitanya. Here it is stated, Chaitanya eva sankarshano vasudeva. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who appears as Lord Shankarshan and Lord Vasudev. Here the word Chaitanya can't be used another way. Chaitanya eva Shankarshan. We're talking about a person who appears as Lord Shankarshan and Vasudev. If one is a personalist, then there's no other way of accepting the word Chaitanya other than it means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It cannot be that consciousness manifests itself as Shankarshan and Vasudev. That is an impersonal understanding. And for my Vadis, we have nothing to say and nothing to argue. Otherwise, it is very clear that here Chaitanya is used only in this context. And in the second to last verse that is being quoted, Thakur Bhaktivinoda says, this material world is temporary, whereas the individual living entities who try to enjoy matter are eternal and superior to it. The Supreme Personality of God is superior to both the temporary material energy and the eternal living entities. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is this Supreme Person, the Absolute Truth, the original cause of all causes. And here it is stated, Saiva Purushottama Chaitanyakam Param Tattvam. So notice on one side is Purushottama, the Supreme Person. On the other side is Param Tattva, that he's the Supreme Truth. Therefore, Chaitanya here cannot refer to anything else again than that same person. The Supreme Person is Chaitanya, who is the Supreme Truth. And therefore, there's no other means of explaining and understanding the word Chaitanya than as is mentioned here. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur concludes, the Upanishad concludes, one who worships the Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with devotion and always remembers him becomes free from all sins and is completely pure, easily understanding the truth about the personality of God and becoming free from all limitation. Such a devotee attains the supreme goal of life, which is attainable by those averse to the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I hope I said unattainable by those who are averse. So here is a person, this so-called Smarta Brahman, who is averse to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, he can neither attain bhakti, neither understand what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, neither can he understand what is Krishna, neither can he understand what is devotion. Therefore, as Vikram rightly did, he should stay a goodly distance from that person. But we should understand that the explanations of Shastra is given to us by Srila Prabhupada in terms of explaining Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's avatar is perfect. There is no higher, no better, no clearer explanation. And that is the faith of the followers of Srila Prabhupada, and that is also the scientific evidence which they glean when presenting Shastra, which cannot be defeated otherwise. I will stop here and we'll address the last aspect of this question tomorrow. Hare Krishna.